T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show is brought to you by Thomas Helbig and Bob Kershaw with the Retirement Advisory Group, retirementkey.com.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Lots and lots to get to for this hour. At the bottom of the hour, we are going to talk to a couple of the candidates who are on my voter guide for the upcoming school board election next Tuesday. Very important municipal elections coming up, and we're going to talk to Adriana Kuhn and Sam Young. They're running out in the Francis Howell School District, and we'll talk more about that for you as well. We've also got Dr. Michael Waller is going to join us. He is an analyst for strategy at the Center for Security Policy, and we're going to talk a little bit more about how the CIA and the FBI are being operated these days, in his opinion, and some of the challenges we face going forward with that, which is pertinent heading into this big election year for sure. All right, right now, though, you've heard me talk about ranked choice voting. They tried to get this. There was a movement afoot to get it on an initiative petition last year. It kind of failed. It kind of went down in flames. And that's a good thing, because we've seen the disaster that has happened around the country where they have instituted ranked choice voting. It's like, you know, 15 people on the ballot and the top two, regardless of party, move ahead to the final election. And it just takes away choices, in my opinion. And we've got this Missouri Senator Ben Brown on the phone right now from District 26 to talk a little bit more about his bill that would try to keep this from ever happening in Missouri again. Ben, welcome in.
Good morning, Mark. Good to be on.
Yeah, good to have you. Thank you for giving me a heads up on this. Your bill regarding ranked choice voting was originally scheduled to have a hearing yesterday, right?
We did. We actually had a hearing in committee. It was voted out of committee. We're now on the formal calendar. So we were hopeful that they would be brought to the Senate floor for debate tomorrow for the first time. Unfortunately, we adjourned with just a couple bills to go. So I believe we should be up on Monday when we return.
Yeah. So tell people your issue with ranked choice voting and maybe how you describe it when you're telling people what it does and how it works.
Well, you know, it's no secret that confidence in our system of elections is all-time low, and I think that we need to be doing everything we can to restore confidence in our elections. And what ranked choice voting does, it does the exact opposite. My bill, it consists of two provisions aimed at restoring that trust. That it would preserve the one-person, one-vote system and ban ranked choice voting in our state. It also specifies that only U.S. citizens over the age of 18 who are residents of Missouri, keyword being only U.S. citizens, are entitled to vote in our elections.
Yeah.
So, and in ranked choice voting, people that are proponents will say that it creates a majority, but all it does is really creates an artificial majority, because you have this byproduct where ballots are essentially trash. You go through multiple rounds of tabulations, and if you don't follow the convoluted instructions to a T, or one of the candidates that you ranked does not make it to one of the rounds, then your ballot is essentially thrown in the trash. It doesn't count. And there are studies to back this up in states where this has already been enacted. A study in Maine looked at 98 of the most recent elections after that was passed there, and 60% of the election victors were not actually the candidate that obtained the majority of the votes cast.
Yeah. Yeah, it disenfranchises people, which is how I try to explain it. If you vote for one person and then you put two other people as your second and third choice, for example, but it's the fourth person that gets more votes elsewhere, ultimately you might not even get a vote on the final two people on the ballot. I mean, it's crazy how this thing works. They do a version of this in the city of St. Louis. If your bill passed, would it prevent them from doing that in the city?
It would. And, okay, you know, we're seeing exactly how well that system is working out in St. Louis right now, unfortunately. And you're exactly right by saying it disenfranchises people. And someone who agrees with you happens to be the head of the NAACP in the state of New York. They went as far as slamming their new ranked choice voting system as voter suppression, and they were actually quoted as saying, ranked choice voting is not beneficial to minorities, it's voter suppression.
Well, I look at Alaska, and I brought this up before. Sarah Palin would be a congresswoman from Alaska if not for ranked choice voting.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And just to give you an idea of just how bad this can be, there's a San Francisco Board of Supervisors election which had 20 rounds of tabulation. After 20 rounds, 53% of the ballots were trash. Only 8,200 ballots actually counted towards the end result. In other words, more ballots were thrown out than actually counted towards the end result.
So we're talking to Senator Ben Brown. Often before you bring these things up, I know if you're the sponsor of a bill, you're trying to get it to the floor. Do you have a corresponding bill in the House, or do you know somebody over there that will that has confidence they can shepherd this thing through?
Yes. Representative Ben Baker, we reached out to him last year. This is the second year I filed this bill.
Right.
And he filed complimentary language on the House side. It did actually pass all the way through the House last year. Unfortunately, we weren't quite able to get it there in the Senate. This year, I've been able to move it much more quickly in the Senate. So hopefully we can get that through. And I'm confident if we can do it on our end, we can get it through the House as well and, you know, get this done for the people of Missouri.
Good, good. Long overdue, in my opinion. I hope they get it done this year. Senator, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Yep. Keep me up to date. Appreciate that, Senator Ben Brown there. This is just a horrible, horrible idea.
It's a little confusing the way
it is
structured.
It really is. I found, like, in Maine, they were trying to get people to buy in to ranked choice voting, and they put up this really crazy illustration, this video with cartoon characters in it to try to explain how it worked. And I played this last year, and let me play just a clip of it here, Carl. Hang on.
You are not required to choose more than one candidate if you do not want to participate in ranking. Your first choice candidate for that office will be counted on election night. If no candidate receives a majority, the voting will move into ranked choice voting rounds.
Yeah, at which point, the second time around, none of your votes will count. If your candidate didn't end up in the top two, then, and you didn't vote for more than one, like, you end up having to make some very terrible choices if you have to keep voting for people that are second, third, fourth, and fifth choices in this round. And then they throw out everything from the first round, and if your candidate didn't make the top two, they go and look at your second choice. And if your second choice was one of the top two, then that vote gets tabulated. But if it's not, then you don't get to vote in the next round. Like, you're disenfranchised. Instead of just doing it the way we do it, where you have a couple people, two-party system, people running a primary, they're on the ballot, in November or whenever the election is, and then you get to go out and vote on those two people who were the choice of their party.
How long would it take to get results using this way of voting?
It can take a long time. They just have to keep going back and retabulating them. Doesn't always take a long time, but it can. And you can easily see the confusion and why it's a bad idea, unless your goal is to just get a bunch of milquetoast candidates elected is really what ends up happening, for sure. All right, coming up, we'll talk to Dr. Michael Waller from the Center for Security Policy. He's got a new book out on how the CIA and the FBI went from Cold War heroes to deep state villains. That's coming up in just a minute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Stay tuned. Now, we talk about the deep state all the time. We saw it, rear its ugly head with all of the former security officials who came out, the 50 of them, and signed that piece of paper claiming that anything about the president's son, Hunter, must be Russian disinformation. I mean, you see it all the time, but sometimes you need somebody who's been there to kind of put this into perspective. And we've got Dr. J. Michael Waller on the phone right now, a former operative for the CIA and now the senior analyst for strategy at the Center for Security Policy. And he's got a new book out on big intel, how the CIA and the FBI went from Cold War heroes to deep state villains. Dr. Waller, welcome in.
Hi, Mark.
Thank you for giving me some time this morning. How big of a threat is this to the United States right now?
It's huge, because when you even have a guy like Chuck Schumer saying that if a president tries to rein in the FBI and CIA, they have 6 weeks from Sunday from going after you. So even the nation's top Democrats are afraid to touch this machine.
Yeah, I don't know where it goes from here. So let's assume for just a moment, best case scenario, Donald Trump gets reelected president of the United States. He is outside of the swamp or the sewer or whatever you want to call it. He recognizes the problem. This sounds to me like it's so ingrained that it's more than just changing the head of this agency or that agency. I mean, how do you affect this if it's really all throughout these agencies?
Well, we're kind of like a stage four cancer patient right now as a country when it comes to the FBI and the CIA. It's really that bad because the neglect has been that long and the rot is that deep. But there's still great parts of them to salvage. We need a federal investigative service and a counterintelligence service to get spies and a foreign intelligence agency. But can we do it with the ones we have? And the answer is no. It's become a danger to the country because, as Schumer was basically saying, they've become a state within a state. That threatens our Constitution.
Dr. Waller, this is Kim. I think one of the most concerning things I've seen is how they're able to label things misinformation and discount them or censor them. And it's so subjective, right? That's their opinion. We would say absolutely not misinformation.
No, it's insanity. And they took the term, they started with disinformation. That's a KGB term. The Soviets made that up as deliberate information designed to deceive. So they're taking a communist Soviet spy term. They're using it now to label things they don't like. That's disinformation with a D. Then misinformation is simply mistaken information, or it's not accurate, or it's something that people disagree on. There's no crime in that. This is what our country's all about. You have to have debate. And certainly somebody's not going to agree. So you call it what you call it, something that's dangerous, and you have to censor it. But yeah. As you just said, they're trying to shut us down. Even with the Federal Communications Commission, you know, we never think of the FCC, but they're even more dangerous than the FBI on this point. They've got a plan now to force internet service providers to start altering their content about what we see and read and how we communicate with each other.
It's frightening. I mean, we've seen lots of examples of it. But you like to think those are isolated. I know a number of FBI agents, local people in law enforcement, who are great people and who are there to do the job. It seems to be the politics seeps in at the top. And I mean, how do you impact that? Like if when you find out agents were being sent from either the direction of the DOJ or whoever to investigate parents speaking out at school board events last year during the COVID pandemic. I mean, that's it filtering down to the level where I know these local agents probably don't want to do that, but they see it as their job. How do you fix that?
Well, that's the just following orders thing. That's what the Germans said, and you can't have that. I know a lot of the same types of really great FBI folks that you're talking about. There's no shortage of them, but there is a shortage of courage. And if they're going to go ahead and just follow orders anyway and harass Americans anyway, they've become part of the problem.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's daunting. You highlight this going back how many years? I mean, you've been out of the agency for a while now. When did you start seeing this kind of dysfunction?
Oh, I saw as soon as I started going in. So, and actually, I was brought in to work for CIA Director Bill Casey because of the problems inside the CIA. They were having trouble. This is in the early 1980s, and I was still a college undergrad. So you can imagine how bad it is when the CIA director is recruiting college undergrads to do work because none of the professionals inside can get the work done.
Wow.
In this case, the CIA could not find a Soviet direct connection to funding international terrorism and communist guerrilla networks on our southern border.
Are they still doing that? I wonder if they could find it these days. We got all kinds of problems with our open border.
Yeah. So imagine, you know, so in the early 80s, it was just over 40 years ago. It was terrible then, but it was really tame in comparison to what there is today. So my job was to go and to find that type of proof of Soviet involvement in arming and training and funding these communist revolutionary movements south of the border, and then later on to infiltrate and disrupt Soviet organizations, because the CIA itself wasn't doing it. If they were, why would they hire a 21-year-old college kid?
Yeah. Boy, that's absolutely the truth. Well, the book is called Big Intel, How the CIA and the FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains, and maybe what can be done about it as well. It's available on Amazon. Dr. J. Michael Waller, thank you for your time.
Hey, it's great being with you both.
Yeah, we appreciate getting you on here. Not comforting news to hear from somebody who was on the inside.
No, I mean, we know what's going on, but I think that we've only scratched the surface of what we know versus truly what's happening behind closed doors.
And I think all of these agencies, I mean, all the stories about, you know, people and these were maybe isolated, you can argue, because the order came from one field officer somewhere that they should start paying attention to people who attend Latin mass if they're Catholic and just crazy things like that. If you got the wrong people in charge at the top, those things get taken seriously. Where does it end?
Yep.
I mean, you've got to have almost wholesale changes at the top for it to filter down into what's happening lower than that.
Yeah.
And I don't see how you get that if we maintain the status quo in Washington. You can't. Speaking of changing the status quo, we have an opportunity to do that on our school boards next Tuesday. Coming in here in just a minute, Adriana Kuhn, Sam Young, they're running for the Francis Howell School Board, and we'll find out how that race is going and try to get out the vote when we come back. T-minus 4 days and counting till people need to go to the ballot box and vote. I guess you can vote early in some spots, but it's school board election time, and you've seen my voter guide, 971talk.com. Please share it. Please encourage people to get out and vote. That's what we need in one of these April elections where voter turnout is never what it should be. And this morning I've got two candidates back in studio who are on my list, and that's Adriana Kuhn and Sam Young, candidates for the Francis Howell School Board. And welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
By the way, your commercials you're running sound great.
Oh man.
Honestly.
That's a thrill to hear it.
Sound like they were professionally voiced.
Yeah.
You guys did them yourself. That was great.
We have great voices. So.
You do.
I was excited when I heard them. I'm like, oh, I know those voices. I love it.
You know, since I had you guys on last, the Post-Dispatch did a story on my voter guide.
We saw.
And, you know, they're trying to act like, well, it seems less controversial this year than it was before. And I'm looking at the reaction to it, and they go out and they get Ted House, who's a former Democrat legislator, who argues that it's nonsense that we're concerned about how woke the schools are, mm-hmm. and argues that the candidates that are running are pushing for privatization. I mean, first of all, Sam, I'll let you start here. How silly is it to argue that you're running for a public school board because you want to privatize schools?
Yeah, why would I want to demolish something I'm running in? Why would I want to demolish something my kids are in?
Yeah.
You know, they're just trying to come up with something that's not even an issue in this race. You know,
yeah.
The issue is what's going on in our schools, the academic excellence that we're trying to achieve and bring back to our schools. It's not privatization or charter schools.
And we don't have control over that at all. This is something that happens in Jeff City. Our legislators decide what goes on in this bill and if it gets pushed through. And I want to point out that our schools, with our $280 million budget, we should be better than any private school in all of St. Charles County or all of St. Louis County. I don't understand why our public schools aren't better than the private schools. They should have higher academics. Everything should be better with our huge budget. And we want to make sure that no matter what gets pushed through in Jeff City, that our schools will be stronger than private schools and people will continue to choose us because of how strong our schools are at Francis Howell.
I know your opponents running for school board there in Francis Howell have said, oh, you know, you're pushing culture wars. And Adriana, you were quoted in a Post-Dispatch article saying, oh, you know, you're pushing partisan politics. How do you respond to those types of accusations?
Well, they keep coming back to, oh, this is so political. You're political. The Ted House PAC, that is Democrat-based. And they are built from superintendents, previous superintendents, with the board. The role that school boards play, they oversee superintendents. So why are previous superintendents trying to inject who they want on the board? Because the board should be built of citizens and voted on by citizens. That's what we're built for, to oversee the district and make sure our funds are being used wisely. So anyone who runs for office, it's a political thing. You're automatically in a political position because you are running for office. You have to make a Missouri Ethics Commission committee. You have to do all these political things I had no idea about. So it is, you do step your toes in politics, but the other side is so heavy politics with NEA.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
NEA is a political arm of the Democratic Party.
Which is funny because there's just hypocrisy all over the place with
exactly.
these accusations.
Exactly.
Yeah, Ted House, I mean, that was the first place that came out with just attacking us. You know, they call us unethical. They talked about us being immoral. And just like, where did this group even come from? We've never talked with them. And they just, this is a local election. These are volunteer positions. We're unpaid.
You're not getting $1 million a year for this position?
I mean,
what? Are you sure you still want to run?
Just came out with attack ads. Like,
yeah.
This is
lies.
They don't come out with a local, to me, spirit to these things.
Yeah.
You know, they're bringing this national activist spirit to our school district.
Very much so. And I mentioned it earlier. The Missouri NEA can run, but they can't hide. Because if you go to their website, they used to link you. They used to have a specific link encouraging you to go to the NEA website. They wisely scrubbed that this year, but at the bottom they have the link to the NEA, and when you link to it, you see what their radical stance is on a lot of these issues: sexual identity indoctrination, LGBTQ, DEI, you know, anti-gun, although that didn't have a lot to do with schools, but it does have an influence on security at schools, right? That
yes.
they're opposed to a good guy with a gun being in the school to protect your children. These are things people need to know about, and they need to know if they're looking at candidates who are endorsed by the NEA, they're carrying all of that baggage along with them.
That's right, Mark.
Yeah. The NEA has a resolution that the educators must acknowledge the existence of white supremacy culture as a primary root cause in our nation. You know, that's not St. Charles County, you know, outlook on things.
Let's talk about the issues that are going on in Francis Howe right now that you're hoping to get on the board to impact. What would you say those are, Adriana, for you?
Well, on the surface level, I want to make sure to oversee fiscal responsibility because we saw a lot of overexpenditures in the past few years. And I just really think our money's not being used wisely. We need to get it feet on the ground in our teachers, in the things that really directly connect with the students. So we have direct positive effects in our schools. Also, parental rights. These were squashed in 2020 by forcing our kids, when we knew it was bad for them, to not have in-person learning. In Francis Howe, we did have in-person learning options, but everywhere else, you know, we didn't. And I want to make sure to be elected for whatever comes to us in the next year, the rest of this year, next year, the next year. We need a strong individuals on our board who really have critical thinking skills, who don't just sign off on everything that's pushed to us through to the, from the superintendents, because
yes.
that's what's been going on for decades, and we need to stop that. Our citizens in our county and our entire nation are thirsty for civic involvement. I am not kidding. That's why we have people don't have an outlet for this, and we need to get involved, elect people on our school boards as aldermen, as councilmen that really represent us. We need to get involved as citizens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sam, any thoughts?
Yeah,
what's
let's
the big
talk
issue?
About yeah. academic excellence. So there's something sweeping through the education culture, standards-based grading, where they want to protect kids from the effect of homework, you know, like they want to de-emphasize homework. I got a brother who's a teacher in this state in a high school, and they have this standardized grading. They're not allowed to give anything less than 50% on any homework, mm-hmm. you know, and they also want kids to be able to take tests multiple times. The kids quickly learn you can game this. Like, I don't have to study. I don't have to do the homework. I just mm-hmm. come and take the test. And then if I do bad, I just get to take it again, you know, and there's no preparation. I think this is a terrible way to teach our kids how to learn. It's a terrible way to set them up for their next job once they get outside of high school, because what kind of boss wants a kid coming in who can't do something right the first time, who's not really to put in the time to prepare mm-hmm. and just get something right done the first time?
And yep. we're actually seeing this in the corporate environment right now. I know so many people who work in corporate environment and other jobs everywhere, and the generation that's coming in right now, they don't work
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to put in the effort, and it's probably from a decade of implementing this slowly, but now it's so blatant.
Yeah, you don't get 10 chances at your job. You know, if you mess up a couple times, you might lose it.
Several decades of everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah, exactly.
Participation trophy. Yeah,
that could play a role in it as well. Yeah, I'm amazed when I hear the stories, not in your district, but in another area district, where superintendent made it very clear behind closed doors that the board is not her boss. And I shook my head when I heard that.
Yeah.
You hire this individual, mm-hmm. and you can fire this individual. And I'm hoping that when we're back in control of some of these school boards, some of those activities happen and some better choices can be made.
The progressive left thinks they own our schools, right? And that we're interlopers. We're coming in from the community, and we're trying to say, no, you need to reflect our community. And they think we're interlopers, that we're coming in to ruin what they have. They think they own the schools.
Well, go ahead.
I think a lot of citizens don't quite understand how school boards work. And I think that's the problem, because I had no idea 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when my kids started in school, I didn't understand the board was there to regulate the district and make sure the district is making good choices. So the board fires and hires people in the district. We are the bosses because we're the citizens. We're representing the citizens. And I think people don't understand that. The superintendent works for the board, and the people in the district and administration work for the superintendent, and we work together with parents and teachers and everyone. And I just don't think people understand that's why this role is so important.
Yes.
Because we oversee what the district does, and it's super important.
Well, I hope people are paying attention this round. Go to the voter guide, 971talk.com. That's Adriana Kuhn and Sam Young, candidates in the Francis Howell School Board. Get out and vote. My thanks to Ken Gontars of Francis Howell Families. He's also in the studio this morning. Kenny, thank you for all of your hard work and getting these two great candidates for Francis Howell this year. Good all stuff. Right. Thanks
thank
for
you.
Coming in.
Thank you so thank much you. For having us.
Good luck.
Thank you.
I mean that, seriously. Coming up next hour, we're going to get to Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. I can't wait to get her take on this Supreme Court abortion pill hearing that happened earlier this week. That's all coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show. All right, 971talk.com. Download that voter guide. Share it with your friends. You can also check out the entire website while you're there, of course. And right next to the voter guide, you're going to see the link to the Mark Cox Morning Show Spring Bourbon Fling, which is coming up the 18th. So after Election Day, and you can come out and celebrate with us. And Kim and I are going to be out there at the Clayton Wine House having a great time. This is going to sell out. I'll just tell you that because I know what the capacity is over there. You just come out. It's going to be lots of great bourbons there. My friends at Lohr Wine and Spirits are going to be bringing some of their Four Roses, the RD1. If you've never had this stuff with the it's just outstanding. Four different types of bourbon that they're making there at RD1. Round Pond Wines, if you're not a bourbon drinker, you got that option. New Riff, Old Dominic, just a bunch of great bourbons. It's just a meet and greet. It's going to be a great time with the 97.1 team. We have some appetizers, and it's a Thursday, April 18th. So go check that out. Buy your tickets now, because I fear that they will be hard to get at some point. Mifepristone is a new term for me, Kim. I had to learn this. This is this abortion pill.
Yep.
They had that hearing in the Senate or in the Supreme Court this week, and I want to talk to Shannon Bream more about this so that I understand it. But the people on CNN are going sideways over this. They can't believe that you can't just get this through the mail, and why can't everybody have it? And it's perfectly safe, even though it was clearly rushed through and didn't have proper clinical trials and all this stuff. So Caitlin Collins, remember her? She's one of the ones that did the town hall with Donald Trump and spent her entire time as a mouthpiece for Joe Biden instead of actually asking good questions. You could tell her dislike of Donald Trump when she did it. She got Dr. Christina Francis on last night, who's opposed to this pill being available to everybody with no restrictions, and she kind of got it handed to her. Listen to this interaction between Caitlin Collins and this medical doctor. You should never ask somebody a question like this unless you know the answer.
But just to be clear, Dr. Francis, I mean, you have never had to go to the emergency room to do this. You've never been required to perform an abortion for someone who had complications from taking this, right?
So I have actually taken care of women in our emergency room who have come in with complications and had to do procedures to finish, removing the contents of their pregnancy from their uterus. But, you know, again, it's the FDA's actions in removing these safeguards that would give women an in-person visit. I have been brought down to the emergency room to complete the process that was started by these abortion drugs. And again, this is happening more and more frequently because women are not even receiving in-person medical care prior to receiving these high-risk drugs because of the FDA's decisions.
First of all, excuse me, contents? You mean the baby?
Well, her medical term for it. Thank you.
I have so many thoughts
the contents of her
on this abortion pill.
Boom. I know. We're going to get into that with Shannon Bream. Of course, she covers the Supreme Court for Fox. And then our friend Griff Jenkins at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm pretty sure he's still up in Baltimore, the scene of that bridge collapse. We'll get to all that and more for you coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.